first reading is Psalm 95, which can be found on page 602. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this evening is from the Gospel of Luke. It may be found on page 1034 in the Bibles. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 46. The wise and foolish builders, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. When the floods came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This is the word of the Lord.
I think the last in our August series of the teaching of Jesus, and we're looking today at building well. And I do hope that you were able to enjoy that last hymn, which I think is a lovely hymn. Some words from that chapter, that little cameo, that little bit that we saw from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and between verses 46 and 49. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. We are building day by day in our work and in our play, not with hammer, blow on blow, nor with timber, sawing so, building a house not made with hands, following Jesus' perfect plans. Little builders, all are we, building for eternity. How many of you know that chorus? You've got to be aged something plus. It's very old, but I believe it's got everything in it, especially that last verse, building for eternity. At the end of the war, I, along with about six other little lads, was collected on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock and taken up onto the moor. It was quite a hill to climb to the church's Sunday school, and it was a day school during the week. And I was taken by a lady called Florence Barton, tall, angular, lovely lady, came in all kinds of weathers. And she taught us that chorus, along with many other choruses, which many of you will remember. She was a wonderful lady. And just after the end of World War II, in fact, very soon after partition, I wonder if you've seen any of the programs on the television this week about the partitioning of India into different countries by lines just arbitrarily drawn on a map. And she went out as a missionary to be an administrator in the Christian Medical College in Ludhiana in the Punjab. She was there for about 20 years. She died about 6 or 7 years ago, and we lit a candle for her in our Saturday morning prayer meeting. She was a wonderful lady. She was a stalwart for God. She was wonderful. We've heard of recent floods in Sierra Leone, haven't we? Where all those houses which were built badly on the side of a hill were just washed away into the valley, with loss of housing, but more importantly, loss of life. I found out some information a couple of years ago that there are 7,000 dwellings in our parish, from the little bridge in the high street to the top of the Shibben Road. Several thousand of those were built, as many of you will know, in the 1950s and 60s and into the 70s. And many of them were built on the wealden and clay with foundations which were poor. In fact, the house which I live in, I think, has about 6 bricks underneath the ground level. And building on wealden clay, which dries out very quickly in very dry weather when there's no rain, the clay shrinks. And that causes all kinds of problems with cracking in the house, and even worse than that. So we all know that foundations are important. And Jesus told this little story of the foolish and the wise builders. And it would have made sense to them as they were hearing it, because they lived in an area where if there were flash floods, very often in September, the housing which had been built inadequately would be washed away. And I believe that when Jesus told this story, he was using his own experience as a craftsman, as a joiner, a woodwork maker, a builder of wooden lintels for houses. He would have known the good and the bad builders who came into his workshop with Joseph. He had first-hand experience. Foundations are crucial in our lives, aren't they? Maybe where we're born, the parents we had, or the carers that we had who looked after us, the kind of school that we went to, our environment, our marriage or not, our friends that we have at the moment. They're very important, and they're all parts of our foundations. There is, however, a foundation that we can determine ourselves, and a more reliable and permanent one for our lives I can't imagine. The foundations that we've had over many years are important, but they're behind us. There's possibly very little that we can actually do about them. But here is Jesus talking about himself as a foundation. That's Jesus. And we know from our own experience, or I hope we know from our own experience, that being able to depend upon the rock of Jesus during rough times, and all of us have rough times, Christians are certainly not immune to them. And that rock of Jesus is very important. Jesus is a real stabilizing factor in our lives. I remember Simon Cooper, who's now in Beckenham, mentioned in a sermon some months ago that wearing a clerical collar sometimes had problems for him. He didn't elaborate, but I think it meant that sometimes there were a few jibes and some comments which may not have been particularly appropriate. Following the Grenfell Tower fire in Kensington, we all heard that the first people on the scene were Christians from the churches working together in that area. And they were able to do, with reasonably limited resources, amazing things, providing all kinds of help, both physical and mental, to the people who were so heavily traumatized and still are traumatized. And I was listening to the news on the television about 3 weeks ago, and one of the ministers from one of the churches said that he'd always been a little bit doubtful about wearing his clerical collar, but he was wearing it now because people have really found the church and Jesus to be an important part of the lives in that place. In our Old Testament reading of Psalm 95, we read, I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Those are strong words from Isaiah, aren't they? From the psalmist, rather, aren't they? I'd like to just read a few verses from the revelation of Jesus to John. And we read about the churches, and particularly about the one in Ephesus, in Revelation chapter 2. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. They're strong words again. I haven't been to Ephesus. I gather that it's really just a pile of ruins which lots of people go to look at the ruins and the archaeological digs. There's no church there. There is in Izmir in Turkey, Smyrna. There are lots of churches there. It's not a Christian country, but the church is allowed to be there. The lampstand removed from its place. We assume that the Christians in Ephesus weren't following Jesus. So if we are to be warriors of Jesus, if we're to be like my friend Florence, if we're to be like millions of Christians across the world who are warriors for Jesus, we can remember these words. That we build on the foundations of Jesus. I remember Donald Coggan, who was one time Archbishop of Canterbury, speaking to the readers at a reader's morning in the King's School in Rochester, and I was sitting about as near from him as Mark is there, and he used these verses, and one of the things he said was, it may well be, and there are other matters too, about rural churches and so on, but he said he was quite sure that one of the reasons why the Christian churches in this country, many of which were closing, were struggling, was because there was no Jesus there. Jesus didn't seem to be important, everything else but. So, we remember those words. We build on the strong foundation, the solid foundation of Jesus. Amen.